Good evening. Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm so glad that you know all those answers when I say, praise the Lord and God is good. And you must have been in the renewal for a long time. How many of you have been in the renewal for, let's say, the last 15 years? 15. Everybody here, huh? Praise God. Of course, I've known Father Patsy for a long time, ever since when he was president of the NSC. And when was that, Father? In the 70s? 80s? 80s? And I have known some of you, like Jim Archer and Taffy here. And I met many of you today, and it's really, I'm blessed to be here, and it is a very encouraging event because, you know, Father Patsy had invited me twice for the last 2 years to come here, and every time, you know, I had to cancel because, you know, I was sick. So praise God, he did not give up on me. So finally, I'm here, and I believe this is God's timing. Amen? Amen? Oh, big hands to the Lord for his graces and blessings. Huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, I would like to talk to you about myself, a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in the Philippines, came here in this country. And when I was barely 21 years old, back in 1973, and been married. I have two daughters. I have one granddaughter and another one coming in. In January of next year, my second grandchild. Actually, my first grandchild is a girl, and the one that's coming up, it's a boy. So, boy and a girl. Praise God. And I have the privilege, the blessing to minister to actually now 51 countries so far throughout the world. It's such a blessing to minister to many people throughout the world. You know, I did not expect this to happen. I mean, have you told me back in 80 or in, let's say, early 80s that I'll be traveling throughout the world, I would have said, no way, not me. But the Lord has plans for all of us. Amen? Amen. And now my first time to be here in Charleston, I've been to Beckley and also to Parkersburg. How many of you were there at that time when I was there in Berkeley, either Beckley or Parkersburg? Nobody, huh? Yeah, I was there, I don't know, eight or nine or 10 years ago. I don't remember. It's been a long time, you know. Huh? Longer than that, huh? Longer than that. So I'm glad that I'm back to West Virginia, and this place is amazing. Beautiful place, and the ambience here is amazing, and wow, all the greens around, and it's God's country, for life, Father. Yeah, it's close to heaven, right? It's nearest to heaven. Thank you, Lord. By the way, Bob also, I met Bob, and he gave me this microphone. I don't know if it's working. I use either one. Let me check here. Maybe it's working, huh? Hello? Yeah, the red light is on. You know, one time, I was using this one time, and I don't know where I was, They gave me this type of microphone, and during the break, you know, I went to the restroom. And as soon as I got out from the restroom, everybody was looking at me, and he said, "Bob, are you okay?" I forgot to turn this thing off. I said, "I better, from now on, I have to be really careful. Did I turn this thing off?" Anyway, that was so funny, and I could never forget that, you know. I mean, the facial expression of people was so funny, you know. "Why are you looking at me that way?" They said, "Are you okay?" Anyway, it reminds me of a story, too. One day, this man was walking on the seashore, and this voice came up, and he says, "I am the Almighty God." And this man says, "Oh, God, is that really you?" "Yes, I am here to talk to you." And the boy says, do you have any requests for me? I can do everything. This is Almighty God talking to you." And the man says, Yes, God, I have a request for you that maybe you can build a bridge from San Francisco to Hawaii." You heard that story? No, not yet, huh? Okay. So the Lord says, of course, it's easy to do, you know, but the Lord says, but can you imagine how many tons of cement would be needed to have that bridge? Or how many tons of steel are needed? How many people are needed to build a bridge? And it will take maybe at least 5 years to do that. And then the Lord says, what glory is there for me, you know, when you have that bridge? And the man says, you know, God, I just, you know, if we have that bridge, all we can do is just, you know, get our car and drive from San Francisco to Honolulu. And the Lord God says, well, it's easy to do, but where's the glory for me there? So, and the man says, well, if that's the case, God, can I have another request? And the Lord says, yes. What is your other request? He says, you know what, God? He said, you know, I have a girlfriend and I could not understand her. Sometimes she would just be silent and I ask her what's wrong, and she would just say nothing. I don't know what's going on. Can you give me that wisdom that I could understand women perfectly well? You know, that I could understand really well, that I can understand women, especially my girlfriend. You know, can you do that for me, God? And there was silence, you know. And God says, well, in that bridge, you want 2 lanes or 4 lanes? So, husbands, it's hard to understand your wives, right? Some say, no, it's easy, okay? But anyway, my topic today, by the way, this evening is Jesus, the Master Healer. And we are here this weekend, and we are here to talk about healing. And everybody is interested in healing, right? Amen? Amen? Amen. Everybody needs healing, including me. Everybody needs healing. Who among you here doesn't need any healing? Raise your hand. Nobody. You don't need any healing? Yeah, we need some forms of healing, amen? Some need physical healing, some need spiritual healing, some need emotional or mental or, you know, or healing of relationship with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord. So everybody needs healing, amen? Because nobody is perfect. We are all broken. We are all broken people. So anyway, Jesus is indeed the master healer. The same Jesus who walked on this earth 2,000 years ago, healing people, is still healing until now through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, but there are still many people who don't believe that God is still healing until now. There are many who believe that, yes, He can forgive sins, but there are many more who do not believe that He still heals or that His will is to heal. Yeah, I have traveled to many countries. And, you know, some people say, oh no, it's a scam. That healing rally, healing crusade is a scam because God doesn't heal. I said, come to our healing rally. Come to our healing crusade and you will see that the same Jesus who healed people 2,000 years ago is still healing until now. No, last year I was in Malaysia. Thousands of people came. The church is called the Holy Redeemer Church. Church has two altars and they have a mezzanine. And there were 3,000 people inside the church. It's a huge church. And there are many more outside the church. They could not get in the church because it's just so packed. Some people were standing on the aisles. And I have seen the blind able to see, the deaf able to hear, lame able to walk. I have seen miracles after miracles after miracles. Now, one time, there was a family of Muslims. This man came up to me after the healing crusade because I was there for like almost a week, and this man came up to me and he said, I have my family here. I said, can you baptize us? Really? I said, yep, we are Buddhist and we would like to be baptized as Christians. I said, why do you want to be baptized as Christians? And this man said, because we have seen that you said that Jesus is the healer and we have seen the healings left and right. He said, our neighbor who could not walk for years, now he is walking. And this guy also, we know of a friend who is blind, but now he can see. He said, truly, Jesus is God. And he said, can you baptize us? I said, I would if I could, but I said, I could baptize you if it's an emergency. Otherwise, talk to the priest. You know, talk to the priest, ask him, and, you know, that he would baptize you. But I think you have to go through a class, you know, you have to learn more about the Christian faith. But talk to the priest. Now, not too long ago, I heard that they were baptized as Roman Catholics. Praise God. Because they have seen, they have heard, they have witnessed the healing power of the Lord. I believe, my brothers and sisters, that healing is a very important tool. It's one of the most effective tools of evangelization. Amen? Many people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and King by them seeing, witnessing the healings that's been done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So my brothers and sisters, I would like to cite some biblical texts to convince, especially those who are having a hard time to believe that it is the will of God to heal. You know, in the book of Hebrew, chapter 13, verse 8, St. Paul says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Amen? Some people say, well, I don't know, sometimes it's just hard to believe. I said, well, Jesus says, you know, open the eyes of your heart. Have faith. And you will see that He is the healer. His will is to heal the sick. And some people say, well, you know, I think Jesus allowed this, but, you know, He doesn't heal because to teach a lesson or to punish people, you know. I said, wow, that's not my God. Jesus that I know is a loving God. He's a God full of love. He's God full of mercy. In the scripture, we read, you know, the books from the Gospels, Jesus healing the sick. And if you read the Gospels, you would find out that more than 70% of the accounts in the Gospel, we read about Jesus healing the sick. So His will is to heal the sick. He doesn't withhold healing just to punish people. I said, that's not my God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So some people say, well, how about what they call this? Some people are not healed because of some redemptive suffering. I said, yeah, that's true. There are some people who are being chosen by God to undergo redemptive suffering for the sake of other people, maybe, or for their own sake. But if you are chosen to undergo redemptive suffering, you are also given graces by the Lord so that you can go through this redemptive suffering with flying colors. You know, but there are very, very few people that are being chosen to undergo redemptive suffering. The general will of the Lord is to heal His people. Like, for instance, you know, how many of you here are parents? Raise your hands. How many are parents? A lot of you, all right? And if your child, for instance, is sick, he has a high fever, 104 or 105 temperature, and you would say, oh, it's okay, we don't take you to the doctor because you might be chosen, maybe the Lord has chosen you to undergo redemptive suffering. Do you say that? No. You do your best to take your child to the doctor. Amen? Or to give at least medications to your child. That's, you know, but God is more loving than most parents. I mean, His love for us is deeper than the deepest ocean that you could imagine. His love for us is unfathomable. So, my brothers and sisters, that's why, you know, Jesus could not stand sickness. That's why everyone who came to Jesus for healing, He healed them all. Those who came to Him for healing, in the scriptures we read that, you know, everyone who came to Jesus for healing, He healed them all. Amen? Now, one day, Peter and John were going up in the temple at the time of prayer, 3:00 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called the Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you." And he said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man was able to walk. Amen? In the book of Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3, the word of God says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." And my brothers and sisters, there are reasons, biblical reasons, why Jesus is still healing until now. Number one reason is what? His love, right? His compassion for his people. So in the book of Matthew chapter 9 verses 35 to 36, Jesus went through all the town and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them, because they were worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. My brothers and sisters, Jesus was full of compassion. And my prayer was this, like, "Lord, give me a compassionate heart. Because, you know, I'm involved in the healing ministry. And if I don't have a compassionate heart, I would be a very ineffective instrument for healing. So, Lord, give me," my prayer is, "Lord, give me a heart full of compassion for your people. Because if I do it for a show, what would happen? Nothing will happen, right? Nothing will happen." And my brothers and sisters, I was just in Jersey City, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. No, 2 weeks ago. There was this lady who had been blind, both eyes, blind for a long time. So I saw her in front of the pew in front of the front pew, sitting there, and I could see that she was blind. And, you know, the Lord prompted me to pray over her. So I came up to her, and I asked her how long has she been blind, and her friend who took her to that conference in Jersey City, she said, "Oh, she's been blind for a long time." I said, "Well, all we can do is pray. We can pray and leave the results to the Lord." So we prayed over her. I said, "Everybody come and extend your hands towards her and let us pray." So we prayed over her. And I said, I touched her eyes. I said, in Jesus' name, I speak healing. I command blindness to be gone. I said, "Lord, give her brand new eyes, brand new pupils, brand new cornea, brand new iris, brand new parts of the eyes, brand new optic nerves, in Jesus' name, and by the blood of Jesus." And I said, "Lord, I saturate her eyes with your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus." And then I said, "Now, I keep a distance from her. I said, "Can you see me?" And she said, "Yeah, I can see some light. I can see some shadow." I said, "Really?" I said, so we keep on praying. We kept on praying over her and rebuking the blindness. Then later on, she said, "Oh, I can see you. I can see your tie. I can see your eyeglasses. I can see your hair." I said, "Really?" I said, "Stand." And I raised my hand like that. I said, "Father, if you can see me, follow what I do." And she was able to follow everything I did.
And she said, I can see. And she was so excited. I can see you. I can see everything, you know. So praise God. It broke the house down there. Can you imagine? And I asked her, you can see me? She said, yeah, I can see you. I said, do you like what you see? No. She did not answer. I said, okay, it's better to be quiet than tell the truth. So anyway, she was able to see. So what happened to her? 3 days later, well, I was already back in California, and the leader there, the East Atlantic region, her name is Purita, she called me, she says, Bob, you know what happened to that lady who was able to see? I said, what happened to her? Oh, she left for the Philippines. She was so excited that she can see. I think she could hardly wait to tell all her family members that now she can see. I could not blame her, right? She left right away. I said, I was going to ask her to give me a testimony, write a testimony. She said, she's no longer here. She left, you know. And a few months ago, in April this year, I was in Oregon, McMinnville, Oregon. And there was this lady, young lady, 16-year-old, blind and deaf mute, and blind in one eye. Can you imagine deaf mute and blind in one eye? On my way out of the big auditorium, there were over like 1,200 people there. And then on my way out, I was going to the airport. This family had stopped me by the door and said, Bob, can you pray over my daughter? I said, what happened to your daughter? She said, she's deaf mute and she's blind in one eye. So we prayed over her in the mighty name of Jesus. See, in Jesus' name. And I said, Lord, you are a God full of compassion. I said, do unto her what you did to the blind when you're still walking on this earth. Do unto her to the mute in Jesus' name. And we prayed over her. And then, you know, I said, follow me if you can hear me, or, you know, follow me. And I said, say mama. And she said, mama. Say papa. Papa, you know. She was able to hear and she was able to speak for the first time in her life. Praise God. And I put that, yes, and I put that on Facebook. You know, if do you have Facebook? If you put down my name there, Bob Canton, and go look at my timeline, you can see the pictures there of those numerous healings. It's amazing. It's exciting. It's exciting, you know, because you see right there and then, you see God in action. Amen? Amen. I could not heal. I mean, all I can do is to pray and leave the results to the Lord. I could not even heal a simple fly. That's why, it's, you know, every time, I've seen this many times over, all over the world, but every time I see this, I still got excited. I was as excited as it was the first time for me, as if it was the first time for me to see these things happening. What amazing. I said, Lord, I am a sinful man. I am a sinner. But the Lord says, but my son, I already died for you on the cross. Okay? But I want you to follow me. Follow him. But it's not all about us. It's about him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, because God is full of compassion. God is full of love. Now, by the way, let me ask you, how many of you have tried access YouTube or my website or something like that and have seen those videos of healing? How many? You have, huh? You have. You have seen all those things, huh? So I don't have to
to tell you more about it because you have seen it. And there's many more videos that we are going to put on YouTube. Because you know what? I believe that those videos of healing is a good evangelization tool. Amen? So, because Jesus is the healer, and he is a God who loves us, God who heals. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, Jesus got out of the boat, and when he saw the large crowd, his heart was filled with pity for them, and he healed their sick. You know, and he also said, Jesus also said, I will never leave you, nor I will forsake you. Book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Jesus says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Praise God. You know, the Lord, you can depend on him. Amen? You can depend on him. Now, there's also healing in the presence of Jesus. In the presence of Jesus. And in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 19, we read that the great multitudes tried to touch him, for power was going out from him and healing them all. Now, do you remember this woman with the hemorrhoids? Have you read that in the Bible? This woman with the hemorrhoids, how many years had she been suffering from hemorrhoids? 12 long years, right? And one day, Jesus was walking, and she tried to touch him, right? And what did she say? If I could only touch the cloak, his cloak, I shall be healed. But the thing is, I could just picture her trying to touch her, trying to reach him and touch even the hem of his garment. So, you know what happened? The disciples and the apostles told her, hey lady, watch out, right? I believe she must have stepped on their two toes, right? She must have, because she was trying to reach out to Jesus. See, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, then I shall be healed. And then what happened? She finally was able to touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed. What a faith. And then Jesus says, who touched me? And they said, why? Who touched you? Everybody wanted to touch you. She said, no, but the touch is, there's something different in the touch. What was the difference that Jesus felt? The faith, right? The woman had touched the hem of his garment with faith. So my brothers and sisters, can you imagine if that woman was healed by just touching the hem of his garment, how much more when we receive his body and his blood during the Mass? We have Jesus in us. He is the closest in us. Amen? When we receive his body and his blood, he is within us, he is in us. And healing should be taking place. But what happened? I believe some people don't get healed because they don't believe. They don't believe in the real presence of Jesus. They don't believe that the bread that the priest have consecrated, or wine that the priest had consecrated had become the body and the blood of Jesus. It's when the priest say the prayer of consecration, it's called epiclesis. You know, he asked the Holy Spirit to come and to change the wine into his blood and the bread into his body. Epiclesis, consecration, prayer for consecration, prayer of consecration. And there's a process called what? Transubstantiation. The bread still looks like, the host still looks like host, the wine still looks like wine, but the content has changed into his body and his blood. So you know what, my brothers and sisters? Every time I receive communion, I would always say, Lord, you are now closest into me, and you are the closest in me now. You know what's going on in my body. Heal my body. Heal what's wrong in my body. Heal all my organs, all my cells, all my tissues, all my bones, all my muscles, all the systems in my body. You are the closest to me now. Can you imagine? The Lord has humbled himself to the extent that he comes to us in the form of bread and wine in order to be closest to us. You know, that's humility on the Lord's part that's beyond comprehension. And my brothers and sisters, that's a source of healing because Jesus is the healer. He's the healer. And then when I pray that, Lord, touch my body, heal my body, and then I have a PS. You know what a PS is? Postscript. Lord, please make me look younger than my actual age. Why not, right? Why not? Amen? Lord, make my body, you know, all my skin really smooth. No, I don't to that extent. But I could do that, right? I mean, when I ask the Lord, I ask not only halfway, but everything. I ask everything. But I do not go to the extent, Lord, make my skin as smooth as Father Patsy, maybe, or something like that. So, but you know what? Just like, can you imagine the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings? You know, you only asked him a little bit? No. Like a millionaire. If you go to a millionaire and you said, can you give me $5? That millionaire will get offended. He said, what, $5? Me, a millionaire, you are asking for $5 only? What do you think of me? But can you imagine the Lord? He is multi. I don't know what, how do you call that, trillionaire? He owns everything. He knows everything. He owns. He is, and he is still God. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He owns everything. When I ask big, yes. Do not think how small God is. God is big. I ask big. My brothers and sisters, that's why when I prayed for the blind and people with cancer, praise God, I have so many experiences of people who got healed of cancer. One time, there was this lady who was waiting for me. She was in the wheelchair, and she was in Jersey City, that, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And so I was in New York, came back to Jersey City, and the owner of the house is, Bob, this lady has been waiting for you for almost 2 hours. I said, what lady? She says, she's in the basement. The doctor only gave her weeks to live. Weeks to live. And she had cancer all over her body. It started in the stomach. She could hardly eat. And
she's wearing this. She's using this. I forgot the thing that I saw, like a plastic bag in her stomach. colostomy, and she was very frail, you know, and I felt sorry for her because she had been waiting for me for a long time in the basement. Basement was cold because it was like around December, you know. So I said, oh, I'm so sorry because I got, you know, I said I was in New York City. Well, not in New York City, in Queens, ministering there. So I'm so sorry. I said, it's okay. So I prayed for her. And the daughter told me, Bob, she went to, I know she always go to Sloan Kettering in New York. And the doctor says only weeks to live. And the daughter says, Bob, we already have a plot for her in the cemetery. We already talked to the priest about her funeral arrangements and everything. You know, I said, really? And I said, we'll pray, you know. Nothing's impossible for the Lord. So we prayed over her, and I felt sorry for her. So we prayed for her, but I did not. When I pray for people, especially with people with terminal illnesses, I do not look at their situation, look at them. Oh, you know, how they look or what's their situations maybe, but I seek for the glory of God to be manifested through them. I said, Lord, you are the God of the impossible. So I prayed over her in Jesus' name, you know, and then after that, you know, we said our goodbyes, and a month and a half later on, I got a call from a friend of mine. She said, Bob, remember this lady? Her name was Myrna. I said, she said, remember her in the basement? You prayed over her? I said, yeah. I said, why? Did she pass already? Did she pass? That's what I thought, she passed, you know. And she says, no, Bob. She said, I saw her last night. Where? Where did you see her? We have a parish get together, parish party, dinner. I saw her. I said, really? So how is she? Oh, Bob, I saw her, you know, eating not only one plate, not only two plates, three plates full of food. I said, really? Are you sure? She said, yes. I said, well, please let her call me. Okay. She said, okay, I'll let her call you. So I said, okay, tell her to call me. I'd like to talk to her. About 2 weeks later, she called this lady, Myrna. She said, Bob, she said, you know, after you prayed over me, every day I keep on getting more strength. I started to go to church again every day. And the priest was so surprised to see me. She says, I keep on, you know, going to church every day. And she said, I just have this strength. I could not, you know, I don't know why, but I used to be very weak. Very weak. I could not put down the food, but now I can put down the food I could swallow the food, okay, and I have strength. It's amazing. I said, thank God. And she said, next week I'll have, I have to go to Sloan Kettering again in New York for another checkup, you know. I said, let me know. Let me know what the doctor says. And about 2 weeks later, she called me again. She says, Bob, I got great news. The doctor says no more trace of cancer. Praise God. No more trace of cancer. You know what? She became active in the prayer group. She became active. She was, you know, she had a ministry. But then later on, she had lived for about 15 or close to 20 years later, you know, because this happened in the late 80s, you know. She died recently, you know why? She did not die of cancer. She died of choking. What happened? She choked, and her husband was in the wheelchair, and he could not help her. She choked to death. It's sad, but the thing is, at least she was healed of cancer. Amen? She had a ministry. She was active in the prayer group. God is a God of miracles. God of miracles. Amen?
Amen.
One time I was in Detroit. I ministered in Detroit. And this lady came up to me. She says, Bob, can you stop by at Harper Medical Center in downtown Detroit? I said, what's in there? She said, Bob, my husband had a stroke 3 months ago, and we decided to take out the life support system. And I said, how is he? Oh, he's managing, he's there. But the doctor says, it's just a matter of time, you know. So in other words, that he would die. And then she said, Bob, can you pray for him? Maybe for a happy death? I said, sure. Because I felt sorry for her too, because she begged me. I said, okay. So we went to Harper Hospital. I saw her husband. Her husband was laying down, still, kind of still, you know, and no more life support, just waiting for him to die. I guess the family was waiting for him to just go quietly. So the wife says, Bob, pray for a happy death. I said, okay. So I laid hands on him. His name was Paul. Lord, that's Paul in a mighty way. And then the Lord says, speak life into him, my son. Speak life. He said, in Jesus' name, I speak life. You know, I said it 3 times. In honor of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I speak life into Paul in Jesus' name. And then, after the 3rd time, I felt this, you know, like a tap on my back. The wife says, Bob, just pray for a quick and happy death. You know? I said, uh-oh. What shall I do now, you know? The Lord says, speak life, and the wife says, quick and happy death, you know? I said, I'm in a bind here, you know? But I would rather obey the Lord, amen? I said it again, in Jesus' name. I speak life into Paul. I speak life into his body, his brain, all his organs. You know, I felt another tap. Bob, quick and happy death. But anyway, to make the long story short, the wife told me, Paul had awakened like six or 7 hours later, he woke up. Can you imagine? He woke up, and then I said, oh, that, praise God. And then I said, can I continue to pray for him? She said, yeah, we continue to pray for him. And then he was released from the hospital about, 3 weeks later, he was released from the hospital. Can you imagine? You know? Had I followed the wife, quick and happy death, I don't know, maybe she had figured out already the insurance, you know, how much insurance, maybe $1 million, you know? I don't know. Lord, forgive me. But, the Lord, you can never, all we have to do is to ask, amen? Even though you say, oh, no more chance. No. As long as there is life, there is hope, amen? As long as we can pray, there is hope. There is hope. Don't give up. That's why Jesus says that we have to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Seek and knock and the door shall be open unto you. That's what the Lord says. And the scripture says, you don't have because you don't ask. Or if you ask wrongly, right? So, my brothers and sisters, and another reason why he heals.
Why he heals? For his glory. Amen? When you pray over the sick, he says, Lord, heal my brother. That this is how I pray. Lord, heal my brother and my sister for your greater glory and honor. For your greater glory and honor. No, and remember one time in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 30 to 31, let me read the word for word. Great multitudes came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. They glorified the God of Israel. So the Lord expects us to glorify in everything that, you know, the Lord expects us to glorify Him in everything that we do and everything that we say. My prayers every day says, Lord, let your name be glorified in what I say and what I do. I said, Lord, when I pray over the sick, I always ask the Lord that the healing will give glory and honor to His name. And in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 16 to 17, we read about Jesus healing the 10 lepers, right? The 10 lepers. Who came back? How many came back? Only one came back. And what did Jesus say? Were not 10 made whole? And only one came back, and this one who came back is a Samaritan. He says, where are the other 9? Only one came back to give glory to God. So what does Jesus say? He says, we should always give glory to Him. Amen? When you are healed, we should glorify Him. If you are not healed, glorify Him anyway. Praise Him anyway. St. Paul says we have to give glory to Him. We have to thank Him always and for everything. Amen? We should always glorify Him. That's Jesus said it Himself. He said, no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? So my brothers and sisters, every day we should always give glory to Him. We should thank Him. We should praise Him. We should praise Him. In the midst of trials and tribulations, you should praise Him. You know, One time I gave a teaching that, hey, about praising. Praise the Lord. Because I said, you know, God is enthroned in our praises. So we praise Him in good times and in bad times. And then I asked this lady, I said, do you praise Him in good times and in bad times? And she said, yes. I said, supposing your husband would leave you, would you praise the Lord? And she said, she thought for a while, she said, I'm sure I will. I will. Why? And she said, so that I can find another one, you know. Anyway, but the Word of God says, praise Him always and for everything. Good times or bad times, praise Him anyway. You know, my daughter had a brain aneurysm, burst brain aneurysm. And 2 o'clock in the morning, I received a call. And I was fast asleep. I was awakened by the call. I said, who called? You know, so I said, hello. And then the person on the other line, he said, this is Dr. So-and-so, and I'm calling from UC Irvine Medical Center. And says, is Tricia your daughter? My gosh, when I heard that, oh, I could not describe how I felt. That is, for me, a shock. A parent receiving a call from a hospital, from a doctor in the hospital, asking if you are the parent of your daughter or your son, how would you feel? You always, you see something bad is happening, right? Of course.
And she said, yeah, she said, I'm sorry, but your daughter is here fighting for her life. Oh, I don't know whether I'm up or down. I don't know how I felt. I could not describe how I felt. My wife, when she heard, I said, she was crying. She said, what happened? I said, well, this doctor say, you know, calling about Tricia, she's in the hospital. What? And she cried, you know, right away. And I said, you know, I said, I'd like to listen to what the doctor said. She says, your daughter had a burst brain aneurysm. And we are going to do surgery on her. I said, okay, doctor. And I don't know how I felt. So we drove right away, 30 minutes later, or an hour later, I think. We drove from Northern California all the way to Southern California. It took us 6.5 hours drive. In the car, we cried to the Lord. We prayed nonstop. 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the morning. You know, I don't know where I was. I mean, the feeling was, oh, I could not describe it. It's like a torture. Like, it probably worse than being in the dungeon, being tortured. That's how the feelings. And there, my daughter had surgery for 9 hours. And during the surgery, she had 3 strokes. During the surgery, you know. And then after the surgery, the doctor says, you know, we don't know. Well, during the surgery, they keep us updated. Oh, she had about 30% chance of survival, you know. And then later on, you know, we don't know if, you know, when the surgery was done, if she could talk again or she could ever talk again or swallow or do the, you know. Oh, I said, wow, you know. So we stayed in the hotel just across the street from the hospital. 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, I walked from the hotel to the hospital. And because my wife and I, we took turns. She goes in the morning, I go nighttime, you know, and I verbalized my prayer. Lord, where are you? Where are you, Lord? You know, we depend on you. Lord, save my daughter. Lord, protect her. Heal her. I walk, you know, I verbalize my prayer. And there were some doctors there on the street and nurses and other hospital workers. They look at me. And they probably were thinking, I know they were thinking, maybe this guy has not taken his medication or something. Right? But I didn't mind. I verbalized my prayers. But can you imagine the miracles? My daughter, you know, they were thinking about putting some kind of things like for her to breathe. And then last minute, they changed their mind. And then she said she could not swallow. They're going to install something here in the stomach or something like that. Did not happen. The last minute, they canceled it. And my wife, praise God, her brain is intact. They said that she will be affected by this. But her brain is perfectly okay. Only like maybe short-term memory, a little bit affected. But like if you tell her something in the morning and you ask her at night time, sometimes she forgets. But now she's getting better at that. She can talk well. She can walk with using the cane or walker. Now, it used to be like the four-legged cane. Now it's only one foot cane. She walks and she participated in the Disney World 5K marathon. Can you imagine? Of course, she just walked. And she was holding on to her cousin's arm and they just walked. But when it was announced there that this lady had this brain aneurysm and, you know, she was not even given much hope from the doctor, but now she's in this marathon, everybody went congregating around the finish line. And when she crossed the finish line, everybody was dancing, was cheering her on. And they told her, you are our inspiration. You are our inspiration. She said, no, I'm not the one that just lie down and say, oh, that's it for me. No. She said, I'm going to prove the doctors wrong. And she did. Only by the power of God, only by the graces of God, I prayed like I've never prayed before. Same thing with my wife. Many people are praying. So my brothers and sisters, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing is impossible for the Lord. So, you know, I can attest to that. And I have, you know, I only average maybe 3, if I'm fortunate, 4 hours sleep every day. Sometimes 2 hours every day. We stayed in the hotel for almost 6 months because from the regular hospital, she was in the, she had to undergo what you call this rehab thing. A total of almost 6 months, we stayed in the hotel. You don't want to get our hotel bills, right? No, you don't want to get our hotel bills. But the Lord provides. Amen? The Lord provides. Now, also, one big reason why Jesus is still healing until now. If you can give me this one big reason, you know, Father Patsy says he's going to take you out to dinner tomorrow at the Hilton Hotel in, where? In Charleston? Oh, no. Anybody can guess that? Mercy, yeah, that's true. Of course, love and close to mercy because of his mercy. Compassion, love, yes. You know what? One of the biggest reasons why Jesus is still healing until now? To destroy the works of the devil. Amen? In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, the word of God says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. The book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. His mission is to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? In the book of Luke chapter 13 verse 16, Jesus says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. My brothers and sisters, the devil is real. He is real. How many of you believe that he is real? Everybody believes, right? But sad to say, there are some people, there are some even priests that don't believe that the devil is real. But they are as real as you and me. I have witnessed many people oppressed by evil spirits. And I'm telling you, they are here to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And Jesus says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Yes, my brothers and sisters, he's real. You know, I have seen his operation. You know, one time I was ministering in Sacred Heart Church in downtown London. In downtown London, Sacred Heart Church. And we were in the basement. It's just full of people in the basement. And you know what? When we were praising the Lord and just lifting up the Lord and praying in tongues and all that, you know, all kinds of manifestations were there. You know, people like crawling like snakes, barking like dogs, you know. And I had 3 people with me. We prayed for deliverance. Can you imagine people rolling crawling like snakes and barking like dogs? And there were manifestations there, ugly manifestations. You can tell it's evil manifestations. So I asked the priest, Father, could you help us, you know, pray for deliverance? Oh, no, just you. I'm not experienced. I said, Father, just bless them. He was got this holy water, you know, praise God, you know. But this, the priest told me, Bob, I'm not surprised that the evil spirit manifested here, because London is a hub of Satan worship. London is a hub of Satan worship. There are so many Satan worshippers in London. And then the lady who accompanied us, she lives like in Kensington area of London. We are close to Kensington Palace. She said, Bob, in my apartment, everybody is a witch. I'm the only one who is not. But later on, we prayed over her. She also manifested the evil spirits in her. Can you imagine? It was real, you know. And there was this lady in there. She was lying down like that, still, in front of the altar. And then suddenly, the entire body had moved, going out side of the door. And I was praying over these other people here, and I saw her. Can you imagine? She was lying down like that. And then she started to move, as if unforeseen forces were dragging her down. I have to run after her and rebuke it in Jesus' name, prayed for deliverance. And she stopped right there in the middle of the church. And I talked to her later on, and she said that she was involved in palm readings, fortune tellings, you know, all kinds of evil practices, occult practices. No, and evil spirits are real, my brothers and sisters. I have seen it firsthand, not only in London, but also when we went to Scotland, the same thing. Went to Ireland, the same thing. And then also in Asia. Went to Indonesia, and Malaysia, Hong Kong, and Thailand. Oh my gosh, manifestations of evil spirits. I went to Malaysia last year. I was told there's a big witch there. Voodoo, he practiced voodoo. He's called the king of the voodoos or something. I believe, you know, I got sick because probably he didn't like it. Because one day, I asked the people, there are thousands of people. I said, tomorrow, bring all your amulets, lucky charms, all your statues that's not of God. You know what happened? Many brought in their all kinds of, occult materials. Like sharks, teeth, and you know, amulets, lucky charms, statues of Buddha, big statues and ugly things, you know. And so what happened? We burned it outside the church. I asked the priest to bless the things, and we burned it. And you know what? On my way back here, that's when I got sick. So I think it could be the work. Probably it was the work of the evil one. But the evil one is a defeated foe. Amen? We should not be afraid. We should ask protection from the Lord. His precious blood, plead for the blood of Jesus. You know, ask Jesus to protect us. You know, ask Jesus to be with us. You know, because the evil one is already a defeated foe. He's already a defeated foe. Jesus is the victor. Amen? Amen? He is already the victor. So we just depend on Jesus. Depend on Him. Go to Him. That's why it's very important, my brothers and sisters. You know, if I see a person being oppressed by evil spirits, I always ask that person to go to confession right away. Go to confession. Renounce all those evil practices. Go to communion daily, if you at least 30 days without stoppage, you know, just straight 30 days going to Mass. Go to confession, go to Mass for 30 days, renounce the evil one, pray, pray the rosary. By the way, my brothers and sisters, you know, the evil one is scared of Mary. You know, the rosary is a weapon against the enemy. And Padre Amort, you have heard of Padre Amort, right? He was the exorcist from the Vatican. Of course, he passed away last year. But he did an exorcism, and Satan spoke through this person that he was exorcising, that she said, if every would only pray the rosary from their heart, she says, I would not even exist. Satan says, I would not even exist if every Christian would pray the rosary from their heart. I would exist. This is a strong weapon for the enemy. We have to pray from our heart. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So anyway, yeah, Jesus is still healing until now to destroy the works of the devil.
Thank you, Lord. Father, do I still have time? How much time do I have left? Okay. Can I say one more? One more? Is that okay? Is that okay with you? Okay. Now, he's still healing because you know why? God answers persistent and desperate prayer. He answers prayers. You know, my brothers and sisters, I related to you what happened to me and my wife when my daughter got sick. You know, we had so many desperate prayers. We call out to the Lord day and night. I heard clearly the words of the Lord in my heart. I think I also heard his audible voice. One night when I could not sleep, I keep on praying for my daughter. And he consoled me. He assured me that he is with us always, that he's healing my daughter, you know. He answered persistent and desperate prayer. The prayers which says, help! Help, Lord! There's nothing I can do. You're the only one that I depend on. He answers that prayer. Amen? In the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, the word of God says, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And when they heard Bartimaeus says that, and many rebuke him, telling him to be silent. But he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have pity on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, get up. He's calling you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man replied to him, Master, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has saved you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed him on the way. My brothers and sisters, can you imagine? He answers persistent prayer. When Bartimaeus was calling him, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And people rebuke him, hey, be quiet. You blind man, you are disturbing the peace or something like that. Now, it's not in the Bible, but I could already imagine that, right? But did he stop? No. He kept on shouting at Jesus. That's why people, you know, we keep on praying,
pray, you know, for the sick and pray for those people who have terminal illnesses and sicknesses. We keep on calling to the Lord, like Bartimaeus did. And can you imagine, Jesus knew that Bartimaeus was blind, right? But then he still asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And what did he say to Jesus? Lord, I want to see. I believe. Now, what is the reason why he still asked? I mean, Jesus knew he was blind, right? Why did he ask him? This man, the blind man. Why did Jesus ask the blind man? What does he want to do? What does he want Jesus to do for him? What was the reason for that? Pardon? Yeah, that could be, yes. What else? What else? Because you know why? Some people, even if, you know, they're sick, they don't want to get healed, right? They probably say, I want to, but deep inside, they don't want to get healed, right? But in his case, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. Lord, I want to see. To test, like our sister says, to test his faith and to see if he really wants to be healed of his blindness. Because this guy, of course, he was begging, right? And in the time of Jesus, you know, people who are sick, like the blind, they have a cloak. I think they have a collar, like red collar cloak, to distinguish them from other sick people. I think if you have leprosy, you also wear another color of cloak, you know. So anyway, Jesus knew that he was blind, but he still asked him, what do you want me to do for you? You know, one time I was praying over this man on the wheelchair, and he told me he had been paralyzed for a long time. So we prayed over him at St. Luke's Church in my parish. We have mass and healing service once a month. So he came and we prayed over him. And we commanded him to stand up and walk, and he did. In Jesus' name, stand up and walk. And he stood up and started walking. And then I said, push your wheelchair. He was pushing his wheelchair around. And I said, there was this lady, kind of petite lady, I said, sit down on the wheelchair, please, if that's okay. So she sat down the wheelchair, and this paralyzed man was pushing her around inside the gym. And then finally, you know, after the mass and healing service, he pushed his wheelchair to the car. And he said, look at me, I can walk. About 3 weeks later, I saw him again in the store. And he was sitting on his wheelchair. And I went up to him. I said, excuse me, sir, aren't you the one who was able to walk from your wheelchair? He said, yeah. How come you're still in your wheelchair? And the wife says, oh, Bob, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? So she took me aside and she says, Bob, you know what? My husband, yes, he can walk. He, in the house, he walks without the wheelchair. He even has a garden now in our backyard. But when we are in public eye, he has to be in the wheelchair. I said, why? Oh, Bob, he's been getting this disability check. This disability check. Oh, Bob, it's about $500. If they knew that he can walk now, they might take away the disability check. I don't know what to say. I said, but the thing is, I said, isn't that like cheating God? Oh, Bob, but $500 is $500, you know. Disability check. Right, Father? That's reality, right? Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to part away with $600 or $500. But the thing is, It's just like cheating. I don't know. What do you think? Huh? It is. And you are denying the work of God, right? I mean, he should be walking around preaching to the people, look at me, I was in the wheelchair, but now I can walk, right? But he says, the money, he says, Bob, it's a big, you know, amount of money. So anyway, I was tongue-tied. I don't know what to say. But I said, but you are already healed. But you know why? That's why I think Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man says, Lord, I want to see. Praise God. So my brothers and sisters, you know, we have to really, really put Jesus at the center of our life. You know, because he answers our prayers, especially the desperate prayers. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, we read, now this is, you know, I'd like to read the word of God, word for word, okay? Then he told them a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in the town used to come to him and say, render a just decision for me against my adversary. For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, while it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. And the Lord say, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. Amen? So we have to, as I said, we have to pray without ceasing. We have to use what we call, have you heard of the push method? Push, P-U-S-H. Push method. Pray until something happens. The push method. Pray until something happens. Praise God. You know, I also noticed that most healings are on installment basis. But there are some healings that are instantaneous, but most healings are on installment basis. For instance, tonight you'll be healed like maybe 60%. You get healed, you receive healing of your illness. Maybe 60%, maybe tomorrow, another 20%. You know, and then the following day, maybe another 20%. Installment basis, although there are some healings that are instantaneous. That's what I've noticed, you know. Now, my brothers and sisters, one last thing, and we are done tonight, okay? Jesus heals because of his redeeming sacrifice on the cross. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verses 4 to 5, this is what the word of God says, yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. While we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that make us whole. And by his stripes we were healed. And in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 to 14, St. Paul says,
Christ ransomed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles, to Christ Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen?
So my brothers and sisters, I sense that the Lord also is healing people here. Right now, the Lord is healing people. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. Thank you for healing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, I sense that there are some who receive healing on the pain around the shoulder and your arm. You know, maybe arthritis, right? And the pain on your shoulder and arm and elbow. Check your shoulder, move your shoulders, your arm, your elbows. And you had pain on that in that area of your body. Now you feel that the pain is gone or at least has lessened. How many of you have that experience right now? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Pain on the shoulder and your arm and your hand and your elbow. Our brother here, where was the pain? Shoulder? Thank you, Jesus. Who else? Who else? Our sister over there? Or our brother? Our sister? Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? You have pain, and the pain is either gone or now has lessened tremendously. Somebody here? Raise your hand. I know there are some more healings. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pardon? Okay. Tell us tomorrow. Tell us tomorrow. But there are some healings here. Anybody has hearing aids? Hearing aids. Can you come up here? Those of you wearing hearing aids? Hearing aids, okay. Okay. Come up here.
Now, I'm not deaf. I'm just,
huh?
I'm not deaf.
You're not deaf.
I think it might be selective hearing loss.
Selective hearing loss, huh? So when your wife tells you something, you say, I could not hear.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah.
Take out your hearing aid. Okay. Two hearing aids, huh? Two hearing aids. How much did you pay for these?
$6,700.
$6,700. I'll put it here, okay? We'll pray over you, okay? Lord, thanks Don in a mighty way. Touch him. Heal him completely. In Jesus' name, we command deafness to be gone. Halara sikalaramba siambariandi siandio sikalaramba siandara. Ears to open up by the blood of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus into his ears. In Jesus' name, into his ear canal. Be open, be open, be open. In the mighty name of Jesus. Deafness go away. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we apply the precious healing blood of Jesus, healing touch of Jesus into his ears, into his auditory nerves, into his ear canal, into his inner ear. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Face that way, Don. Face that way. And if you can hear me, follow what I say, okay? Can you hear me? Okay, follow what I say. Hello? What's your name?
Don.
Okay, Don. Don, how many wives? I mean, how many wives? Excuse me. I mean, how many children do you have?
Two.
Two children? Do you have grandchildren?
Two grandchildren.
Two grandchildren. Raise your right arm, your left arm. Wave at them. You can hear good.
I won't sing. Like I said, it's a slight hearing loss in both ears. So we'll see.
You'll see.
It's
but
kind of hard to tell right now.
Now, if I, go face that way. If I say something with a low voice, see if you can hear. Raise your right arm. Raise your left arm. Raise your right foot. Raise your right foot. Raise your left foot. Raise your both feet. No. So you can, with a low voice, you can hear me, Don. Wow, praise God. And yes, try.
Get my money back.
Yes. You know what, Don? 6,500 for this? Now, we can auction this off tomorrow. You know, because the charismatic renewal needs money, you know. We can auction this off, even half price. That's a good bargain, right? Half price. No, but we will pray for all the deaf here. So,
yes.
So you don't need this. If you don't need that, put that in your throat or put it somewhere.
Okay.
Don't wear that again, okay?
Did you hear that? We'll pay that much for them, you're going to wear it.
Yeah. Now, if the wife says, Don, can you buy me something? Do not say, I cannot hear, you know.
Thank you.
Okay, Don. Who is that other lady here who came? Where are your hearing aids?
Right here.
Two?
Two
hearing aids.
Yes.
Okay. Can you hold this, sir? Okay. Please down. Okay. Well, we'll pray over you. Okay. Can you catch her just in case she falls down? Lord, that's our sister, Eileen. In Jesus' name, be healed by the blood of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus into her ears, into her auditory nerves, into her ear canal, into all the tissues in the ear. Deafness come out, deafness come out, deafness come out, deafness come out. In Jesus' name, we apply the precious healing blood of Jesus, the same blood that he shed on the cross in Calvary. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Hambariya sikalaramba, and the sea and the weak. Command his ears to stay open in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus, through the intercession of Mary, the Immaculate Conception, and Saint Raphael. Deliver healing to your daughter Eileen, the way you deliver healing to Tobit in the Old Testament. In Jesus' name. And we seal this healing with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.